In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
It's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. The best of men are men at best. We cannot expect man to be God. Only Jesus is the man God. We disappoint people, even when we don't try. We saw King David praising God one moment. Oh, thank you, God, that you have entrusted all to me. Thank you that you have made me the king. And then the next sentence, he sees Bathsheba bathing, and he calls her into his bedroom and gets her pregnant. Oh, the best of men are men at best. He tried to get Uriah to go to Bathsheba, but Uriah was a soldier and would not go to his wife. So what does David do? He gets Uriah the Hittite killed. My Lord, this is the same David who was praising God. This is the same David that God entrusted to him that Messiah would spring forth from his loins. This is the same David, and this David is real. I'm looking at 2 Samuel 11:26. When the wife of Uriah heard that her husband had died, she mourned her Lord. But once the mourning was over, David sent for her and brought her into his house. She became his wife and bore David a son. But the Lord was displeased with what David had done. What did he do? He got Uriah killed. He had him in the front line. Make sure Uriah gets knocked down and die today. I tell you, the best of men are men at best. Now we have a problem. We have a king and we have a prophet. Nathan is the prophet. And you know what? He has to go tell David how wrong David was and how David sinned. Now, you know what? Nathan is afraid he might die. So what he does is something very wise. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, he comes up with the story. And this is the story. The Lord sent Nathan, chapter 12, to Samuel. The Lord sent Nathan to David, and when he came to him, he said, "Judge this case, David, for me. In a certain town there were two men, one rich, the other poor. The rich man had flocks and herds in great numbers, but the poor man had nothing at all except one little ewe lamb that he had brought. He nourished her, and this ewe lamb grew up with him and his children. She sheared the little food he had and drank from his cup and slept in his bosom. She was like a daughter to him. Now the rich man received a visitor, but he would not take from his own flocks and herds to prepare a meal for the wayfarer who had come in. Instead, he took the poor man's ewe lamb and made a meal of it for his visitor." David grew very angry with that man and said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, that man who has done this merits death. He shall restore the ewe lamb fourfold because he has done this and has had no pity." Well, Nathan's talking about David. And Nathan said to David, "You are the man. You are the man. Yes, you're the man. You had as many women as you wanted. You could have done whatever you wanted, but you got Uriah's wife pregnant and you killed Uriah. You're the man. You're the man who stole the ewe lamb. The Lord of Israel says, I anointed you. I anointed you king of Israel. I rescued you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your Lord's house and your Lord's wives for your own. I gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if this were not enough, I could count up for you still more. Why have you spurned the Lord and done evil in his sight? You have cut down Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You took his wife as your own and had him killed with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, I will bring evil upon you out of your own house. I will take your wives while you live to see it, and will give them to your neighbor. He shall lie with your wives, and in broad daylight you have done this deed in secret, but I will bring it about in the presence of all Israel, and with the sun looking down. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Well, you know what? That's when David prays this prayer, Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, God, in your goodness, in the abundant compassion, blot out my offense. Have mercy upon me, God, in your goodness, in your abundant compassion, blot out my offense. Oh, yes, David prays Psalm 51. Wash me more and more from my guilt, and from my sin cleanse me. For I know my offense. My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned. I have done such evil in your sight, that you may be just in your sentence, blameless when you condemn. True, I was born guilty, a sinner even in my mother's womb. Still you insist on insincerity of heart. In my innermost being, teach me wisdom. Cleanse me with hyssop, that I may be pure. Wash me and make me whiter than snow. Let me hear sounds of joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Turn away your face from my sins. Blot out all my guilt. A clean heart create for me, O God. Renew in me a steadfast spirit. Do not drive me away from your presence, nor take from me your Holy Spirit. Restore my joy of my salvation. Sustain in me a willing spirit. I will teach the wicked your ways, that sinners may return to you. Rescue me from death, God, my saving God, that my tongue may praise your healing power. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise, for you do not desire sacrifice, a burnt offerings you could not accept. My sacrifice, God, is a broken spirit. Do not spurn a broken, humbled heart. Oh, David was sorry for what he did. He did the evil that not many people would do. You see, when God gives power to somebody, it is not power to be used for oneself. It is power to be used for people. Oh, yes. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king of Israel. I rescued you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your Lord's house and your Lord's wives for your own. I gave you the house of Israel and of Judah, and if that were not enough, I would count up for you still more. Why have you spurned the Lord in killing Uriah and done evil in his sight? You have cut down Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You took his wife as your own. You had him killed with the sword of the Ammonites. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised the Lord and have taken the wife of Uriah to be your own wife. Thus says the Lord, I will bring evil upon you out of your own house. I will take your wives while you live to see it, and give them to your neighbor. He shall lie with the wives in broad daylight. You have done this deed in secret, but I will bring it about in the presence of all of Israel, and with the sun looking down. Then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan answered David, the Lord on his part has forgiven your sin. You shall not die. But since you have uttered spurn the Lord by this deed, the child to be born must surely die. Then Nathan returned to his house. You see, sin has an action. Everything has an action. When I do something good in the name of Jesus, that has an action. It causes God. It touches God. When I do something evil, it has an action on the way I live. I tell you, break with evil. Break with evil. Break with evil. Give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. That's what you must do. Nathan returned to his house. The Lord struck the child that the wife of Uriah had borne to David, and it became desperately ill. David besought God for the child. He kept a fast, retiring for the night to lie on the ground clothed in sackcloth. You see, he's doing penance. Maybe God will change his mind. The elders of his house stood beside him, urging him to rise from the ground. But David would not, nor would he take food with them. On the seventh day, the child died. David's servants, however, were afraid to tell him that the child had died, for they said, "When the child was alive, we spoke to him, but he would not listen to what we said. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm to us." But David noticed his servants whispering among themselves and realized that the child was dead. He asked his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they replied, "Yes, he is." Rising from the ground, David washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes. Then he went to his house of the Lord and worshipped. He returned to his own house, where at his own request food was set before him, and he ate. His servants said to him, "What is this you are doing? While the child was still living, you fasted and wept and kept vigil. Now that the child is dead, you rise and take food." David replied, "While the child was living, I fasted and wept, thinking perhaps the Lord will grant me the child's life. But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me." Then David comforted his wife Bathsheba. He went and slept with her, and she conceived and bore him a son named Solomon. The Lord loved him and sent the prophet Nathan to name him Jedidiah on behalf of the Lord. Let me just tell you this, my friends. You may have been with the Lord for 140 years, but you are not exempt from doing evil. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to be in us. That's why we need God to do something in us and for us. I'm telling you, my friends, that you who know God, don't think you are above temptation. When temptation comes, what you must do is run from it. Run from it. No man is above temptation. And people say, you know, I surprised myself. I'm telling you, I don't know why you're surprised, because the best of men are men at best. You surprised yourself. You thought you were righteous, and indeed, the blood of Jesus made you righteous. But look what you did. Look what you did. What you need to do is be sorry for what you did. What you need to do is to cry out to the Lord. Cry out to the Lord the way David did. Cry out to the Lord, "Have mercy on me, God, in your goodness. Have mercy on me, God, in your goodness. In your abundant compassion, blot out my offense. In your abundant compassion, blot out my offense. Wash me more and more from my guilt. Wash me more and more from my guilt. From my sin, cleanse me. From my sin, cleanse me. For I know my offense. My sin is always before me. I know my offense. My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned. I have done such evil in your sight. Against you, you alone have I sinned. I have done such evil in your sight that you are just in your sentence, blameless when you condemn. You are just in your sentence, blameless when you condemn. I was born guilty, a sinner, even from my mother's womb. I was born guilty, a sinner, even from my mother's womb. Still you insist on sincerity of heart. Still you insist on sincerity of heart. In my innermost being, teach me wisdom. In my innermost being, teach me wisdom. Cleanse me with hyssop. Cleanse me with hyssop, that I may be pure, that I may be pure. Wash me, make me whiter than snow. Wash me, make me whiter than snow. Let me hear the sounds of joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Let me hear the sounds of joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Turn away your face from my sins. Blot out all my guilt. Turn away your face from my sins. Blot out all my guilt. A clean heart create within me, O God. A clean heart create within me, O God. Put a steadfast spirit within me. Put a steadfast spirit within me. Do not drive me from your presence, nor take from me your Holy Spirit. Do not drive me from your presence, nor take from me your Holy Spirit. Restore my joy, the joy of my salvation. Restore my joy, the joy of my salvation. Sustain in me a willing spirit. Sustain in me a willing spirit. I will teach the wicked your ways, that sinners may return to you. Rescue me from death, God, my saving God. Rescue me from death, God, my saving God, that my tongue may praise your healing power. That my tongue may praise your healing power. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or a burnt offering you would not accept. My sacrifice, God, is a broken spirit. My sacrifice, God, is a broken spirit. God, do not spurn a broken, humbled heart. God, do not spurn a broken, humbled heart. That's David. That's David's prayer before the Lord after Uriah died. He was admitting his sin, and he's asking for mercy. I want to tell you, when we ask the Lord for mercy, he gives us mercy. He doesn't say, well, I'm going to think about it. I'm going to think about it, you know. No, it's nothing about thinking about it. It's given to us. It's given to us. That's the way it is. I'm looking at Ecclesiastes, chapter 47. After him came Nathan, who served in the presence of David as the prophet, remember? Like the choice fat of sacred offerings, so was David in Israel. He made sport of lions, though they were kids, and of bears, as if they were lambs. As a youth, he slew the giant and wiped out the people's disgrace. When his hand let fly the sling stone that crushed the pride of Goliath, since he called upon the Most High God, who gave strength to his right arm to defeat the skilled warrior and raise up the might of his people. Therefore the women sang David's praises and ascribed to him tens of thousands. When he assumed the royal crown, he battled and subdued the enemy on every side. He destroyed the hostile Philistines and scattered their power till our own day. With his very deed, he offered thanks to God the Most High in words of praise. With his whole being, he loved his Maker and daily had his praises sung. Oh, yes, he had his praises sung. I'm going to tell you, it was the experience of the tent of David. 24 hours a day, the Lord was worshipped by the people. 24 hours a day, the Lord was worshipped by the people. And daily had his praises sung. He added beauty to the feasts and solemnized the seasons of each year with a string music before the altar, providing sweet melody for the psalms, so that when the holy name was praised before daybreak, the sanctuary would resound. The Lord forgave him for his sins and exalted his strength forever. He conferred on him the rights of royalty and established his throne in Israel. Because of his merits, he had as his successor a wise man who lived in security. And the word is Solomon reigned during the era of peace, for God made tranquil all his borders. I tell you, my friends, this whole experience of being right with God is wonderful, But we must never think that our being right with God, that we cannot fall flat on our face. That's why David prayed, a humble heart you will not spurn. A broken, humble spirit you will not spurn. We must remember that we are men, and men are men at best. The best of men are men at best. We must pray to keep out of temptation. When temptation comes, we need to run from it. We need to say, this is not for me. If King David could fall the way he fell after God had done all these great things for him, I tell you, we are no less than King David. We can fall flat on our faces. That's why we have the sacrament of confession. That's why it is important to confess our sins, though it might be difficult. You see, it's very easy to fall. Very easy to fall. I know people that have come to me and said, you know, when I fell this way, I was surprised. And I said to them, surprised? What do you think you are? What do you think you are? But God did all these great things in my life. Yeah, I know. But you're just a man. Why are you surprised? If God takes away his grace, you know what happens? You're just going to keep on falling. It's as simple as that. If God takes away his grace, I'm going to tell you, the best of men are men at best. They can fall 1,000 feet down. They can do things like King David did. David got Uriah the Hittite killed on purpose so that the baby Uriah would not think the baby was his. The baby belonged to David. And, you know, David got him killed. Can there be anything worse than that? David did not say, I'm surprised at what I did. No, David said, have mercy on me, Lord, in your compassion. In your compassion, blot out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. David knew he was a sinner. And you might have been with the Lord, and right now you're being very, very stubborn because God has been good to you. And you fell and you surprised yourself and you say, now God won't forgive me. God will forgive you. Go to confession. Go to confession. Go to confession. God will forgive you, and he will put your sin as far as the east is from the west. Go to confession. Let the Lord deal with you. You might have been with the Lord all these years, and God has shown himself to you through healing and things like that, and then you fall flat on your face. Don't be surprised, because the best of men are men at best. This is real. This is real. What we need is repentance. What we need is to go to God and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Take, Lord, receive all my liberty, my memory, understanding, my entire will. Give me only your love and your grace. That's enough for me, your love and your grace are enough for me. Take, Lord, receive all I own and possess. You have given all to me, now I return it. Give me only your love and your grace, that's enough for me. Your love and your grace are enough for me. Take, Lord, receive. All is yours, Lord. Dispose of it wholly according to your will. Give me only your love and your grace. That's enough for me. Your love and your grace are enough for me. My friends, it's time to be honest with the Lord. It's time to repent. Take Psalm 51 and pray it. Pray it as David prayed it. Pray it as David prayed it. God will forgive your sins. Get to confession as soon as you can. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. the word of God, which is a two-edged sword, cutting and healing. Please, please, help us to pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Anything you send is just appreciated. We are now paying January's bills. We have not even got near enough to pay it. I ask you, if this broadcast is a blessing to you, please write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, your grace into our hearts, that we through whom the incarnation of Christ your Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. And all the people said, Amen. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.